Rightio then, here we go. Launching into the very last lingua franca before RN summer season, when there'll be a series of linfras from the archives. And, given that we're living in the Asian century, here's an example of how multi-ethnic, pluricultural Australia is changing under that influence. In this report from Tiger Webb.
上海话的印象 农子农子农子农子让他走傻或者来说说广东话乖奶好带买丁滚出来
If you don't understand a word this man is saying, welcome to the club. The Chinglish Club. Formed 2 years ago and operating out of a community centre in the Sydney suburb of Chatswood, this bilingual speech-giving club may be the only one of its kind in the world. Mark Taylor.
Okay, at the Chinglish Toastmasters Club, I'm currently the president this year. And I believe ours could be the very, very first, certainly Mandarin-English bilingual club.
What does a Toastmasters club do, Mark? How does it work?
Essentially, there's pretty much, if you went into a meeting, you'd notice that there are two major components to an average meeting. One is the prepared speeches section, which is where people spend time going through a manual which you obtain through Toastmasters, and that guides you in how you prepare your speech. You then deliver your speech in the prepared speech section, and people will come along and they'll evaluate that speech. So they'll highlight the really good things that they've seen in the presentation, and also areas that you can improve on in your presentation or your speaking. And the other part is table topics, which is pretty much impromptu speaking. So that's where a person will ask a series of questions of anyone in the audience. And pretty much you've got to be ready to stand and say almost anything on any topic, which is nerve-wracking. But in fact, what Toastmasters does is it says these are transferable skills. When you're in an interview for a job, you're going to be given questions which you have to think on your feet about. And that's pretty much the underlying story, that there are transferable skills that you pick up through table topics.
Mark Taylor. And that's how Toastmaster clubs operate. But a Chinese-English bilingual one? Here's Yin Yu, the club founder.
Well, about 4 years ago, I moved to Sydney from Shanghai, and I was already a Toastmaster member. And when I moved here, I didn't know anyone. I didn't have a social network, and I was like, all right. And I felt a need for myself to connect back to my root culture, Chinese culture, while I obviously desired to be part of the society I lived in here. So I thought, oh, okay, what can I do to sort of do something about it? Or can I find an existing organization that's already doing that? I did a bit of research, didn't really find anything that spoke to me. And I thought, okay, why don't I just start something? And I was already a Toastmaster member, I always love that format, and I learned a lot of things from that organization. I thought, why don't I just start a bilingual one?
Yin Yu, explaining the origins of the Chinglish Club. But why this name? Chinglish, a word usually reserved for the comedic misuse of English by Chinese speakers.
Well, it's amazing that you mention that, because that was one of the things that I knew of before, of course, was the word Chinglish. And for me, prior to joining the club, it was the malapropisms or the misuse of English in that peculiarly Chinese way. But even the Chinese see that as funny, because they then, once they understand what's actually being said and realise the humour in it, I think. It then becomes something that we can all enjoy. And I do know that the Chinese government is trying to improve this. It realises there's an issue, and it's trying to improve how English is used and so on, because of its place in the global economy now. But I think it was an inspiration, really, of Yin and whoever it was who came up with the name Chinglish, because it's something that is kind of exciting. It's sort of well, fancy that, they've called it that, you know, instead of, you know, a Mandarin. How would you do it? Mandarin, English, bilingual, so it just doesn't work. Chinglish, it rolls off the tongue nicely. And in a sense, if you break the word down, I mean, Qin is the first emperor. So the first emperor of China was Qin, and that's where we get China from. So I think in some ways it harks back to that and isn't a bad thing.
Sure, you've really embraced it now.
I think I am getting there.
Mark Taylor, and what's the right ratio between the two languages?
Up to last year, I should say, one of the things we noticed is that majority of the meetings were actually in English. The main reason was because some of our members are not yet mastering Mandarin Chinese. So obviously we want to engage every single member or guest in the meeting, so to make the meeting run smoothly and within the time we want it, inevitably a lot of members choose just to speak in English so that everybody can understand instantly. Otherwise, you'll have to have some format of aid, either a transcript in Chinese, in English, if you are presenting Chinese, or you will have to do it twice. You know, when you present first in English or Mandarin, and then you do it in another language. So it will sort of prolong the whole process. So a lot of members ended up choosing English as the main language. Now it's still the case, I should say, but we are seeing more and more presentation in Chinese.
What we've done is try to improve the 50 to 50% ratio. That's what I feel would be very good. One way that we've done that is we've changed the speaking slots, because Toastmasters have speeches which people prepare. And we had one slot which was optional Chinese or English, but now we've just made that mandatory Chinese. So we've put in an extra Mandarin speech slot to try and improve the rate of Mandarin that's spoken.
Balance, harmony. These seem like great goals, but how do they cater for those who are less proficient in Mandarin or who, like me, speak only English?
It might sound funny to you, but the non-Mandarin speakers in the club, and of course there's quite a few of those, are given a cheat sheet. So what we have is like a cheat sheet, which is Chinese phrases in pinyin, which is the anglicised script, so you can read it, and we can at least have a go at saying a few phrases. So that boosts the level of Mandarin in the club.
Mark Taylor, one of the more interesting parts of the Chinglish meetings are prepared speeches for the mutual appreciation of Chinese and Western cultures. Called the Ten Thousands of Why, here's Yin Yu to explain.
Ten Thousands of Why actually comes from a book that's a household name for all Chinese. In Chinese, it's called 十万个为什么, so literally it's translated to English as Ten Thousands of Why. It's a encyclopedia type of book about anything and everything that can be interesting for kids, about science, plants, you know, human being, all these type of things. So when we started Chinglish, we thought, okay, we would like to provide an opportunity for members to talk about cultures, and can be Australian culture, Chinese culture, or generally any type of different culture. So we have that opportunity to sort of bring to people's attention basically differences in our society, and also your individual's view on the differences, or how you cope with that, or how you embrace that difference. So that we came up with that name, and it's a 2-minute session, a very popular session.
So, in the Chinglish Club, there's a great range of age, ethnicity, and language skills. So what's the common thread? Who joins?
We get all walks of life through the club, an incredible range of people who come. We've recently just seen a new member, or a potential new member, come through who's, much like myself, very European-looking, but was given a table topic, actually, about China, where he would like to go and spend his holidays in China, and he gave virtually the whole thing in Mandarin. And a lot of the Chinese in the room, the Mandarin speakers, were very impressed that he could speak so well. So
I think that's the main reason for them to come and to stay. We've got actually more and more members like that who join us purely for that purpose of exercising and practicing their Mandarin presentation skills.
Well, where to next for the club?
I think actually the club's in a very interesting position at the moment because the club is growing at a very strong rate, and we're getting a wide range of people coming in who are interested to experience what is bilingual Toastmasters.
I would like to see Chinglish as really a platform where people here in Sydney will come to, first of course, to be able to practice their Mandarin and English presentation skills, but also as a venue where they can actually live the different cultures and experience the Australian culture and Chinese culture. And in Chinglish, we've got that opportunity and amount of members to really bring to the surface the different aspects of cultures. When you talk about it, when you actually do it, for example, instead of a meeting room, how you set it up and the way you ask people to set up, ask the people to help, all these little things actually reflects, okay, how you do things in Australia and how you do things in China. And the way we present people, you know, you see how people are presented in China, people are presenting in Australia, all these little things that you would otherwise not have opportunity to live here in Australia, and you get that opportunity. So I really want Chinglish to not only be a hub of language, but more a hub of culture, relationship, culture bridge.
So there you have it, a cultural hub as well as a language hub operating every second Wednesday out of, fittingly, the Chatswood Mosaic Multicultural Centre. More information can be found on their website, or just turn up.
Yes, indeedy. Thanks, Tiger. And I just love how, whereas once upon a time, a bilingual English Mandarin club in Australia would have provided its ethnic Chinese members the opportunity to practice speaking English, now it's the other way around. I'm Maria Zylstra, saying thanks to all those linguists and linguistic organisations who shared their knowledge of language here on Lingua Franca, like the members of AUSIT, the Australian Institute of Interpreters and Translators, which has been celebrating its Silver Jubilee this year. You couldn't find a nicer bunch of people, and the work they do is so fascinating and stupendous. And my appreciation too to all those lovelies who engineered the sound, as well as to Nicholas Merrish for the drum roll out. Arrivederla. Ciao, ciao. Doh.